You, Kent, for leading us in our song service tonight. We want to thank each and every one of you for being here with us at the East End Church of Christ as we assemble together to worship and to praise our God in spirit and in truth. Tonight's lesson is centered in and around the people in our lives. Have you ever stopped to really think about how many different people you come in contact with in life and exactly maybe who those people are and what they represent in your lives? We meet a lot of people over the course of our lives, do we not? In fact, I did a research into the lesson tonight just to find out kind of on average how many people we come in contact with or how many people we meet throughout the course of our life. And I was quite surprised that that number is somewhere around 80,000 people for just the average person. Some people are a little less depending on how far they get out of their hometown, you might say. Some of those are even more, upwards of 100,000 people over the course of our lives. That is a lot of people, is it not? And when we think about the people that we meet in our lives, some of these people impact our lives temporarily. And what I mean by that is maybe we meet them in passing. Maybe it's somebody that we meet out at the store and we'll shake hands with them, we'll greet one another, we'll maybe have a short conversation, and then we go on, we never see them again. Also, though, it's not necessarily those people that we just meet in our community. For instance, I remember individuals that I went through high school with. We spent 12 plus years together, if you want to count kindergarten. And in that, even the time that we have together over those 12, 13 years, we were able to know one another, know each other by name, by sight, as well as to be able to spend time with each other. Having graduated in 1985, there's some of them that I've never seen again. So therefore, I impacted their life temporarily, as well as they impacted my life in a very temporary manner. On the other hand, there are others who remain a presence in our lives until death. And those individuals are our families. Those people are not only our immediate family, but extended family. Those people are people that we go to church with. They are members of the Lord's church. They are people even in our community, people that we work with. And we continue to be a part of the same community. And as a result of all that, we are able to stay connected. We are also able to be influenced by and even to be influenced by these people. The goal as Christians is not to be influenced by the world, but rather to in the presence of others, to be able to influence them according to Christianity, according to the way in which God wants us to go. The lesson tonight has three objectives that I want us to think about. I want us to think about our relationship with God, but then also I want us to think about our relationship with one another as brothers and sisters in Christ, then the relationships that we have with people in the world and how that all of these things factor into the people in our lives. And in doing so, I want us to think about the Apostle Paul. I know this morning's lesson centered in and around the Apostle Paul and how that at one point he said that these things, the chains and the tribulation that he was going through in Acts chapter 20, that they did not move him. Tonight's lesson is another area of his life where that he is about to die. And what we find in regard to the Apostle Paul is that he has devoted himself to preaching and teaching Jesus. After his conversion, after he is made aware of his sin and the fact that he needs to put Christ on in baptism, immediately whenever he does that, I believe that we find a man who changes the direction of his life. A man who is fully devoted, and God used him as what God had explained to Ananias that he would do with Paul. God used him for the proclamation of his good news, primarily unto the Gentiles, but then from time to time, even amongst the Jews. So much so is that he led three missionary journey efforts, and then in like figure, other great works. In fact, what we find in regard to his missionary works is that not only did he go abroad, preaching and teaching Christ, but then in the areas of which he spent much time, he was constantly reaching out, realizing lost souls needed Jesus, and therefore he did everything that he possibly could to show them Christ's likeness through his life, but then also to share God's saving message and saving grace in Christ with every individual that he had an opportunity to teach. In regard to the context of what we find here in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 through verse 8, Paul is just about to be offered as a martyr. A martyr is one who dies for a cause. And the cause for which he was getting ready to die for was our Lord and Savior. That says a lot, does it not, about his devotion? It says a lot about how much he loved God and how much he believed, not only in God, but my friends, also what it is that he believed in regard to the message that he has been proclaiming. He had let nothing stand between him and God, and he had let absolutely nothing stand between him and being able to proclaim God, and that meaning even death. Preaching and teaching Christ got him in trouble time after time. And what do we find in regard to the context then, as Paul says that he is already being poured out as a drink offering? Whenever he expresses that, this is terminology. It's language that helps us to see that he understands that he's near the end of his life. And what is it that he's thinking about? What's on his mind? I believe that it is at this time, which was a part of our scripture reading just a few moments ago, is that he remembers certain people within his life. There are some in this context that I'm not going to mention. I'm just going to mention their name, but nothing other than that, and that is Tacitus as well as Carpus. So there are people in this context that we're not going to talk about tonight as to the people in his life, but there are others that I believe had a very profound impact upon Paul's life, and because of this, then Paul mentions them to some degree. God shares this information with us. One of those individuals is Demas. And with regard to this matter, we understand that there was a time where that he was a faithful servant of the Lord. There was a point where that he had put Christ on in baptism, and now he was serving God, not only in his individual life, but also as a servant alongside the Apostle Paul. But the Scripture says in regard to this man is that he had forsaken Paul, having gone yet into another area, Thessalonica, and in doing so, that he loved this present world more than that which was to come. He had a love for the things that this world had to offer. That's what I believe that we deduce from the context. And yet, in regard to this matter, not only did it affect his life in walking away from God, my friends, I believe that it also impacted the Apostle Paul, because from what I gather from my readings of this, there would have been a time where that in his working with Paul, Paul would have had a great respect for him. Paul would have seen him as a faithful servant, but now he speaks in a very negative manner in regard to this man Demas. And I'm going to ask you a question. Have there been people in your life, members of the Lord's church, friends that you have had who have forsaken the Lord? Probably, if we think about it, and some of us might not have to think very long and hard, yes, there are people that we know, members of the Lord's church, who had put Christ on in baptism. They were once serving God faithfully, but yet at the same time, maybe they fall into the same category as Demas. They loved the present world, the things that the world had to offer, and therefore it drew them back. Maybe they came out of a denomination and they were drawn back into that denomination. For one reason or another, they've gone and they've left the Lord. And that impacts our lives, does it not? I remember an individual that I went through school with, and he and his family were members of the Lord's church. And after we graduated from high school, he married a lady and taught her the gospel. I was quite impressed with the fact that she came to be a member of the Lord's church. She came out of the world. I knew her before they ever hooked up, you might say. And he taught her, and she became a New Testament Christian. And after some years passed, he and she both fell away from God. And I was devastated. And in all of that, she eventually remarried somebody else. He eventually remarried somebody else, and they had what was called a no-fault divorce. And my friends, according to what God identifies, they did not have a right, neither one of them, to remarry. And yet at the same time, whenever she remarried, the eldership at Paoli at that time had given him permission to remarry, saying that she had cheated on him even after the divorce had taken place, and now he had grounds to remarry. And he calls me up and he says, "Kevin, I've always respected you." And I said, "Well, I've always had a great respect for you. What's going on?" And he says, "Well, here's what I've been told from this eldership." He says, "Is it okay for me to remarry?" And I said, "Absolutely not." And that's the last time that this man ever spoke to me. He remarried, and never again have we spoken. Not only did he forsake the Lord, my friends, and that's the big thing, but he abandoned our friendship. And I was impacted by that, to be quite frank with you. Those people like Demas who impacted the life of the Apostle Paul in a positive way and then eventually in a negative manner, And he did not forget that, even at the point where he was getting ready to die. And then we have Luke. And what do we know concerning Luke? Who was this man? What did he do in life? He was a physician. The book of Luke identifies that to us. God shares that information with us via inspiration. But then in like figure, he penned the book of Acts. God used him in regard to this matter. And then also he's spoken of time and again throughout the New Testament Scripture. And the Scripture says here, as it deals with the Apostle Paul, only Luke is with me. Everyone else is gone. And only Luke has remained. And I believe that that says a lot about Luke. I think that that tells us is that Luke was a man who loved Paul. He was also a man who loved the Lord. And why did he stay with him? Well, we would draw from the context, I believe, of not only what's stated here, but elsewhere in the book of Acts and such, is that he is in prison. Paul is in prison. And therefore, he is not in the best of health, probably mentally. He's depressed. He's going through not only dealing with anxiety, but my friends, he's also dealing with probably other health issues. Some put into this equation, maybe the thorn in the flesh, maybe there was something health-wise there. Nonetheless, he's dealing with things in life and he's getting ready to die. And I find it monumental to point out is that Luke, the physician, tarries with him. Do you have friends like that in your life? I hope that you do. I think probably all of us do. We have those Lukes who have always been with us. And they always seem to be there whenever nobody else is. They always seem to be there whenever we need them most. Have you ever had times in your life where that you were dealing with a situation and a great friend shows up and they're there to help you out no matter what? I've been there myself. And I've been grateful for those friends. And I'm going to say that I've got a lot of friends here in the church that do that. And I'm so grateful for each and every one of you who represent Luke in my life and my family, especially, who does that. Luke remained with him unto that very present time. And Paul, as he's getting ready to die, he remembers these things and he shares these things with us. And what a blessing not only Luke was to the Apostle Paul, what a blessing these people are to us in times when we need them most. And then there's John Mark. He's called Mark in the context of what we find with Paul's epistle to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 11 and following. And yet at the same time, we understand concerning his surname in Acts chapter 15, verses 36 through 41, John Mark. He's John, but he's called Mark. And what do we know in regard to this man? And the Scripture shows us that if you take the accounts in Luke or in Acts chapter 12 and verse 12, Acts chapter 13 and verse 13, and connect this with Acts chapter 15, verses 36 through 41, Paul and Barnabas have been working together. They had been sent out, Acts chapter 13, by the elders in the church at Ephesus. And as they have been working together, John Mark has been working with them. But yet, the Scripture shows us from this Acts account is that John Mark had not gone with them. He had not worked with them. And yet at the same time, as Paul is getting ready to encourage Barnabas that they need to go elsewhere, Barnabas says, well, let's take Mark with us. Paul says, no, I don't want to do so. He didn't stay with us. He didn't go out and work with us. And therefore, Paul felt so strongly against this, as Barnabas felt so strongly for him going, Paul felt very strongly he's not going, is that it caused a division amongst these two servants who had been able to work together, Paul and Barnabas, so that now Paul goes off and later connects with Silas. And then we have John Mark and Barnabas going off and doing their works. But note what's said in regard to the context. He left him, but now he evidently has come back to the Lord. He's actually come back. Let me go back a little bit. It's not so much maybe that he has left the Lord, but there's a contention between him and Paul. Let me say it that way. But yet at the same time, evidently, and here's what I need to say, evidently they have been able to work through matters. You say, why would you say that? Because now as Paul is getting ready to die, as Paul understands that he's nearing the end of his life and the completion of his ministry as a gospel preacher, he calls for John Mark. And note what he says about him. He is useful to me. whether he was going to be an encourager for him, whether he was going to aid him working with Luke in regard to the matter. We don't know for sure what it is that he was going to do, but Paul looked to this man that once he felt very strongly against, that he wasn't beneficial to take with him in the work. And now he feels very close and connected to the fact that he's able to be with him and able to depend on him once again. Do you have people like that in your life? Probably, again, all of us do. We have people who have been in our life and they've been out of our life, they've been into our life and they've been out of our life, and then there's those people who will always be like that. They'll be here and then they're gone. They'll be here and then they're gone. Usually what we find is that those people are in it for the take, right? But what we do find, though, with some people is that finally they come to their senses. They say to themselves, you know, I should never have acted in this way. I should never have said this or that. I should never have allowed something to come between me and God. I should never have allowed something to come between me and the church. He hurt the Apostle Paul, whether he hurt him physically or mentally. Paul was really challenged by this individual. He was really torn up over it. And there's consideration as to whether or not it's the same Alexander that is mentioned over in the book of Acts chapter 19, verses 21 through verse 34. It doesn't really matter whether or not it is. What we understand in regard to what's going on here in this context is that Paul, not only was he hurt by this individual, he was so devastated by Alexander the coppersmith that he even warns the church, even warns Timothy about this individual. Do you have people in your life that's kind of like that? You love them. Remember that lesson last week, we love our enemies, amen? We love them, yet at the same time, for whatever reason, they don't get it. And therefore, they come against us because we're a Christian, or they come against us because they just don't like the way that we look or the way that we do this or that. That for one reason or another, they're against us. And it's interesting, in the midst of all that, you can have the whole group, if you would, of your friends who aren't against you, who love you, and they're there for you. And who's that one that really and truly just tears you apart? It's Alexander the coppersmith whenever it comes to the Apostle Paul. He has done me much harm. And there's nothing wrong, as Paul shows us here, of even warning people, those that we love, about the Alexander the coppersmiths in our lives, making sure that they are very much aware of what this person is, who he or she is, and also what they're capable of. And therefore, to be forewarned is to be ready and to be prepared to stand against them. And yet at the same time, when we think in regard to this man and the fact that he was an opponent of Paul, he was an enemy of the Apostle Paul, how was Paul able to go forward? I believe what we find in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13, where Paul says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. No matter in this situation with Alexander the coppersmith or even things that Paul faced there at Philippi or elsewhere, he understood that God was going to give him the strength, not that God was going to lift him out miraculously, but God was going to give him the strength to be able to go through and to be stronger on the other end of whatever it is that he had gone through for the cause of Christ. Out of all these people, my friends, who is the one that he praises the most? God. The Scripture identifies in regard to this in verse 17, but the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, so that the message might be preached fully through me, and that all the Gentiles might hear. Also I've delivered out of the mouth of lions, and the Lord will deliver me from every evil work and preserve me for His heavenly kingdom. To God or to Him be glory forever and ever. Amen. What's Paul saying? Paul says there were times when that I couldn't depend on anybody. Even though Luke was with me and helping me along, yet at the same time, there's no one who's any more faithful to me, Paul says, than my God. God has always been with me. He has delivered me. And note what he says in this context. He says he's delivered me from lions. Literally, I don't know. Or if it's just those who were prowling around like lions and those who were there to bite his head off, you might say. Yet at the same time, what we can understand is that not only did Paul know that God had delivered him, but he would deliver him. Note what he says, though. I don't believe that we read in this that he's expecting to be delivered from these chains, but that he's going to be delivered into a heavenly kingdom by God. My friends, isn't that the greatest deliverance of all? I'm grateful that God gets me out of things in life, but I can't wait until he delivers me to be in heaven someday. You know, the greatest person in your life, the greatest person in my life, is our God. And therefore, we know that we can depend on him, and he needs to also know that he can depend on us. Paul was that type of an individual where that not only did he depend on God, God also realized in his faithfulness and Paul's commitment is that he could depend on him. My friends, the people in our lives impact our lives in so many different ways. And God knows, as he identifies here through the Apostle Paul, is that there's a whole different types of groups that come into our lives. People come into our lives. And as he gives us examples in regard to the Apostle Paul here in this context, is that as Paul dealt with them and as Paul was able to realize is that he still was able to move forward, whether it was the good or the bad. Above all, God was there with him, working for him to glorify, to help bring goodness into his life.